Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop. Right on.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Hey, Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer. For only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and tears here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Everybody out there on Facebook Live at Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook Live, and good morning to everybody out there on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com, and on the search, you put Eddie Jones Jr. _ Productions with an S, and you are listening to the show online. Let me say that one more time. Good morning to you on this wonderful, beautiful Monday morning. The time now is 9:04 a.m. It's 5/16/2022, and we are in here, and it is written, as my brother Clarence would say, it is written, and you are in here. All of you that are listening to the show right now and all the ones that are coming on to the show, listen, go to blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com, and on the search, you put Eddie Jones Jr., _ Productions with an S, yes. And if you want to call in to talk on the show, to say something on the show, you just dial 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. Press 1. It'll put you in the queue, okay? To everybody out there on Facebook Live, tag a friend, tell a friend, let somebody know that we're live on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Before I bring in our co-producers and our co-hosts, I want to talk about something that's very, very near and dear to my heart this morning. I preached my sermon yesterday at church, and my sermon, I just want to give you the sermon. The theme of the sermon was, He will do it. God will do it. That was the theme. The title of my sermon was, Let God HYB. Let God HYB. We came out of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 through 7, where it talks about getting an understanding with God and being, remember what your father, the words that your father putting inside of you about the commandments of God. Well, with that, you know, and the sermon was good, it was a good sermon. And I opened up the song with, Good morning, Gloria Majors, how are you? God bless you. I opened up, my opening song was Because of Who You Are. You know, and I'm not going to sing it because we're on Facebook Live, and I don't want it to get blocked or anything like that. So, but you know the song, Because of Who You Are. You know, I will lift my voice and sing, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Amen. What's up, Kevin D? What's up, Kevin, my brother? What's happening, man? Good morning, my brother. Good morning. Welcome to the show. Something happened yesterday. We know that the moon, it was an eclipse last night. I don't know if you looked out. I didn't even pay it no attention because you know what it is, what it is. But we also came out of Proverbs 31, which talks about the virtuous woman. And when we were talking about the virtuous woman and her being married to a man and let God HYB, let God HYB was the title of my sermon. And then we came out of Matthew 4 where God blesses the ones who mourn, the Beatitudes. Hallelujah, because God does. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God, Brother Kevin. And then we came out of Matthew 5:4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted by God. Amen. I said all that to say this. The sermon was wonderful. If you let God HYB, and what does that mean? Let God handle your business. Okay? Proverbs 31 is the virtuous woman, and if you have that virtuous woman in your life, you're going to be all right if you let God HYB, because your wife is going to tell you, or your fiance is going to tell you, or your girlfriend is going to tell you, let God HYB handle your business if you're having a bad day at work. Also, Matthew 5:4, for those who mourn, you shall be comforted. If you let God HYB handle your business, you will be comforted if you're mourning something. Amen. Praise God. What's up? Good morning, Measure. How are you? God bless you. Welcome to the show. And so that was my sermon yesterday. And also Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 through 7, and I'm just going to drop this on you because you need to hear it. Get an understanding with God. And the only way you're going to get an understanding with God is if you let God, HYB, handle your business. I'm going to let that resonate in your heart and mind. Hopefully it'll drop down in your airways, your oxygen levels, your blood flow, your water flow, your brain matter into the resonance of your heart and mind, and begin to develop an understanding of what would have happened if you let God HYB handle your business. And you're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Something very near and dear to my heart happened over this weekend. I'm going to start off with some very unfortunate tragedies that have taken place. And let me grab my notes here. I don't want to get my notes messed up or mixed up right now. This is really very important. And please go to somebody right now, Brother Kevin, Sister Gloria, and share the show with somebody right now on Facebook Live. Without further ado, I want to bring in our co-producer, Clarence and Mallon. Welcome to the show, Brother Clarence and Mallon. How are you this morning? Welcome.
Oh, what's going on? Yeah, what's going on? I tell you what's going on to all our wonderful listeners out there, to you, Pastor Eddie Jones, what's going on, to the co-producers, the co-hosts. I want to ask God, what's going on, the Almighty Father, the Almighty God? What's going on? Because we have started the world's greatest Monday morning blog talk show once again this beautiful Monday morning on May 16, 2022. So buckle in. Pastor Eddie is bringing the hot topic, and we're going to chime in throughout the show. Thank you for having me once again.
Good morning, Brother Clarence M. Allen. Welcome to the show. We're getting ready to get into some. We're going to be talking about abortions today, you guys. Let's get none other than my sister, Vera. Professor Reams, and then we're going to get my sister in. Good morning, Professor Reams. Welcome to the show. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Good morning, Pastor Jones, and to all the listeners and to the regulator, as always. And once again, let's sit back, relax, and also get ready to take some wonderful, wonderful insight, because we're going to get into this roller coaster ride, as we call it, and just hold on, sit back, enjoy, but also remember how we praise God and how at the end we will always feel his grace and mercy. And with that, good morning, everybody, to the best Blog Talk Radio show on Monday.
Professor Reams. Good morning, good morning, good morning, Professor Reams. Oh, my gosh, right on. Now, without further ado, let's get Vera Jones, our health and wellness specialist. Good morning, Vera. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Eddie. I am wonderful. I'm grateful to be here and with all of you. So good morning, Clarence and Alan, Professor Reams, and all the other co-hosts that are coming on. And I just want to say that I felt a lot heartfelt, you know, with the passing of our cousin. So I just want to dedicate a moment of silence today, if we can, for Cousin V and for Brandy and all the other family members. So sometime today, Eddie.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. We're going to make sure we, matter of fact, we're going to, Vera, welcome to the show. Everybody say good morning to Vera, Granny V.
Good
Granny
morning,
V.
Dr. Granny V. Granny
V. Good morning, everyone.
Yes. And without further ado, let me get my daughter in the studio, Talana Jones. Good morning to the show. Words of wisdom, Talana Jones. How are you this morning?
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Dad. And, yes, I'm blessed I woke up this morning. So, good morning. Big shout to all of the listeners who have come to join us this morning, to Professor Reams, to Aunt Vera, to Clarence, to shout out to Melanie and to Prophetess Monica and to all of the Jones family. I love you guys all. I'm praying for us, and happy Monday, everybody.
Amen, amen.
Amen. Happy Monday, my butterfly.
Talana Jones. In the house.
Well, you know, what a weekend it was, even though we had the moon eclipse and all that good stuff. I don't know what triggered these actions that have taken place over the weekend, but they have been very tragic. And my heart goes out this morning. First of all, I want to dedicate this show to my cousin, Brandy Lamb Jones. And I want to dedicate the show to her and all my family, the Bell family, the Jones family, the Lamb family, all of our family members in Los Angeles, in Arizona, in Chicago, in Texas, all over Texas, and anywhere else our family is right now. I dedicate this show to the fight to kill cancer. Cancer is just terrible, okay? And so we're going to have just a moment of silence right now for anybody who's fighting cancer, and anybody that has overcome cancer, and anybody who's healing right now from cancer, or any family member that have lost a family member to cancer. We dedicate this show to Brandy Lamb Jones, and we're going to take a moment of silence. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes, it is so emotional. Amen. Praise God. And I thank God for everybody out there who has been supporting me. Thank you for sending me your thoughts, your condolences, and your sympathies. nobody knows what it's like when a person is going through bereavement or anything like that. Good morning, Monica Smith. Good morning, Wanda. Good morning. Good morning, everybody out there. Hallelujah. Praise God. You never know what somebody's going through. So thank you, Senior. Hey, good morning, Senior. How are you? Wow. It's good to see everybody on Facebook Live. Please send it to a friend right now. Tell somebody right now to come on our show and listen to this very important information that I'm getting ready to share with you. It's very pertinent information. And every week, last week we did abortion. This week we're going to do part two of abortion, and we're going to talk about all the protests that went across the United States of America. Women from around the world gathered and galvanized, and I'm telling you, strength runs in numbers. And they had amazing numbers Saturday, amazing numbers across the United States of America. Good morning, Minister Moni Scott. Good morning, hallelujah, praise God. Good morning, Elaine, how are you? Praise God, God bless you. God bless everybody on Facebook Live. I want you to send somebody else and tell a friend. If you want to listen at blogtalkradio.com, go to blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com, and on the search you put Eddie Jones Jr. _ production. In the state of New York, Buffalo, New York, there's a grocery store called Tops. And if you haven't heard, I want to tell you now, a white inferiorist, 18 years old, with military gear on, army gear, helmet, bulletproof from head to toe, rode for hours to this store in Buffalo, New York called Tops and shot and killed 10 people and wounded 13, and the other ones are in critical condition this morning as we speak. First of all, my heart goes out to the families who were involved in that shooting. They were in the grocery store buying groceries. They were buying groceries. They were getting milk and eggs and cereal and whatever they need for their family. And one of the victims was a 89-year-old African-American. He shot. This was a racist hate crime. A racist hate crime that happened to innocent people that were just grocery shopping in the store. I'm very upset. I'm very upset. I'm going to tell you the truth about how I feel, but I'm going to lean not on my own understanding. Hallelujah. I'm going to follow God, and he will direct my path. And I'm paraphrasing that. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God, and he will direct your path. I'm on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 right now. Because if I was on me right now, we would be in Buffalo, New York, going down here to rectify the situation. This is a civil rights talk show where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And we should do everything in our power to exercise our rights. It is sad. It is sad and inhumane. And it's a senseless act. It's a cowardly act that you got to go get a gun, some 18-year-old kid who's been motivated by something or somebody and is definitely demonic and is definitely a demonic spirit. People, you catch people shopping in the store. My heart goes out to the security officer, Proverbs chapter 35 and 6. Okay, amen, praise God. Wait a minute, hold on. We got someone in the studio here, I believe. Caller in the 503 area code, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good morning, Linda Goldie.
Yes,
how are you? How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing better than I was yesterday. I'll just say that.
Praise God. We can't wait to hear some of your poetry. Right now, we're going to do part two of abortion. We got the second half of the abortion discussion, which we have some very important information that we want to get out to you. And I mean, those women came out in the thousands, if not millions, across the United States to prove their point that they want to have a right to get an abortion. And we're going to hear from some Congress people. We're going to hear from some women in Congress who actually gave a testimony on what happened to them, that they had to get an abortion. And this is a very sensitive, important, mandatory topic that we're going to discuss. So I want to hear from you on Facebook Live. I want to hear from you. It's Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook. If you want to call into the show, it's 646-787-8064, 646-787-8064. Press 1. It'll put you in the queue. You can share your views on how you feel about this whole abortion movement that has rocked, and I do mean rocked, the United States of America in an enormous, gigantic way. Women are very, very concerned and upset about their right being taken away. And my heart is out with the women, okay? You know, this is the year of the woman. I said that at the beginning of the year. I said it last year before we came into this year, that this year is the year of the woman. And she is getting it done, okay? She's getting it done. What's up, Chapo? How you doing? Good morning, good morning. Now, this guy drove from wherever he did, got out the car in full military gear, the helmet, the shield, weapons, plenty of ammo, and went ballistic with his gun. I'm not even going to say his name because I don't want to pleasurize him or give him any kudos for what he did. If you ask me, and I'm glad I'm a man of God, praise the Lord, because if I wasn't, he would be standing in front of a firing squad today. We don't need to go to court for somebody like that. We don't need to have a trial. I was so glad that the prosecutor wanted to get him arraigned very, very fast. I mean, they arraigned him immediately, which was good. But that's not going to take away the pain from all those families who lost their loved ones unexpectedly for no real reason except for hatred and animosity. It's not tolerated in the kingdom of God. But in this world that we're living in, it's tolerated. It's overrated. It's underrated. And we need to be concerned. Churches, arm yourself. Get ready, because there will come a time. And they're already doing it. And you think they're doing it only at the schools? No, they're doing it at the grocery store. And my heart also goes out to the 21 people that were shot over the weekend on Saturday in Milwaukee. After a Milwaukee Bucks playoff game, someone had the audacity. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I just got received a compliment. Thank you so much. I want to recognize that. Thank you. I got to give all the glory to God. I give all the glory to God. And just in a few minutes, we're going to go around and we're going to talk about. But in Milwaukee, after the Milwaukee Bucks playoff championship game against the Celtics, and I don't know if they won or lost. They probably won. But people went ballistic, and all of a sudden these ghost guns, which we talked about a week ago and 2 weeks ago, these ghost guns, and I mean hundreds, if not 1,000 of them, were on the streets at the stadium where the Milwaukee Bucks played, and they just started shooting in the crowds. A couple of people got into altercations, and everybody just pulled out guns from everywhere. I mean, this guy interviews it. Every direction he turned, somebody had a gun in their hand, and that's how much these guns are out of control. And that's why we work on gun control, but the guns are out of control because they're in the wrong hands. And if you're just going to shoot into a crowd, you know that person don't need a gun. I mean, you know, you can defend yourself, but if you're just going to shoot into a crowd, that means that you are mentally and psychologically discombobulated, and you definitely don't need to have a weapon of that sort in your hand. And you need to be prosecuted to the fullest. 21 people were shot. I don't know how many died. But 21 people were shot after the Milwaukee Bucks championship game. And people, if you go back and go on YouTube and look at the video, you're going to see people running everywhere, all different ways, all nationalities. My heart goes out to the mayor of the city, the governor, and everybody else who's working on rectifying this problem. They have all the FBI's involved, the DEA, because it has to do with whatever, so they all need to be involved. They need to get to the source of the problem, and they need to. And this is not only in Milwaukee, y'all. This is going on everywhere. So we, the people, we better get ready because, you know, lawlessness is kicking in a major way, and the police can't be everywhere at the same time. These guys in Milwaukee were shooting while the police were standing there. They didn't care. if the police were there or not. But when they do call martial law over our city and over our states, and they come in here and they put a curfew on you, which they did, they called martial law over Milwaukee, and anybody 21 and older could not, 21 and under could not be on the streets in any of those areas. Next thing you know, you're going to see the National Guards out here regulating. And you're going to wonder why we need the National Guards to regulate, because when they call martial law over a lawless society that's out of control with weapons and guns and other devices to kill human beings, we're going to need to get some control there, because it's a violation of our constitutional rights, our human rights, and our civil rights. And that should never be. That should never be. I want to go to our panel right now. I'm going to start off with Professor Reams. I am really upset, and I want to, we got to stop these. We can't, this is not slavery anymore, okay? Get over it. Get over it. We're still here. We're going to be here. We're not going anywhere. Don't get mad because we do what we do good. You need to be complimenting and lifting us up, not hating, but congratulating, because it's the power of God that put the people where they are. So if you have hate in your heart, animosity in your heart, go find somewhere on the planet, off the planet, where you can go and you can do that all day and all night. We need to take all the white supremacists and put them into a big old giant airplane and fly them to their own personal island. And if they want to hate on people, they can hate on people all day on their island, out the United States of America. So my heart, I'm just, thank God, I'm Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. I'm leaning on God, because if I was leaning on me, that's the way I would feel as a human being, as a man, before I was saved. But since I'm saved, in the name of Jesus, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, God, I'm praying for everybody. Oh, boy, but I'm praying for action, though. I'm praying for some group to come up and say, hey, we're not going to let this happen no more. I don't know if it's going to be the Nation of Islam. I don't know if it's going to be the black militia. I don't know if it's going to be the NAACP. I don't know if it's going to be but I tell you right now, I'm not sitting down twiddling my thumbs. We are planning to help rectify these problems. When we speak to the police department, the county of Los Angeles, the city council meetings, the police board meetings, I go to those. And I go to them for a reason. So now I'm going to go to the police board meeting coming up this week so I can talk about the gun control. If that's out of control. Anyway, without further ado, we're going to go right to Professor Reams. Take the floor. The shooting at Tops, the favorite grocery store that everybody goes to, even the mayor goes to the grocery store and his family.
Yep.
Go right ahead. Take the floor.
Once again, as we've talked about on the show, this has been a major tragedy. And in, as I've talked about in the past, since we were dealing with a misinterpretation of the Second Amendment, it always seems that every time that this gets thrown up, that politicians become fearful because of the fact that they're going to violate the constitutional rights and yada, yada, yada. Well, we were at my team justice meeting, and we just said that we're going to come up with a slogan. First, we're going to regulate in honor of the regulator, then legislate, and then litigate, to where there's action that's being taken that if these things will happen, even if we lose in court, at least we'll try to narrow it down so that these issues don't continue to happen. And the history behind that goes back to number 45 during that march they had back in Carolina, where there is the idea of replacement theory. And since then, that has caught a hold, because this young man was influenced by the 4chan and 8chan dealing with replacement, and it's nothing but in putting them to the right wing side, saying, well, they're going to replace you, replace you, replace you. And the running joke is that one person at our group says, no, we should support replacement theory, replacing those folks and putting them somewhere else, and so we can replace them with good people. And this is the focus overall, because we're faced with a similar thing when we had the massacre at the AME church a while back with a 9. Now we have 10. Now we have, I also have read in Houston, there's a flea market where five were shot. The Taiwanese American Church of Five were shot as well. So
yes,
this brings up a count to about 40 or 50 folks who were attacked by guns that should not have been there, but it just seems like a concerted effort. So a colleague of mine who is now in the Ukraine fighting, Malcolm Nance, has already said that this would be the type of warm civil war that you're going to see moving forward, because it won't be a clash between two armies. It'll be little flare-ups here and there, in order to destabilize the democracy. The great thing when we get to the next topic is the fact that the other better half of our society are women are taking the hands by the Lord, because their right represents everybody's right. And so once we focus on that important right of women's rights, then we can move on to also at the same time dealing with the gun issue overall, because all of these rights are now being affected because of the move of authoritarianism. And as this election gets closer and closer, I'm just happy that the energy is there, because if we had lost, they would have swept this under the table. They may not have charged these people with it being a hate crime. It says, oh, it's just one of those things. It's just a lone person. You don't have to worry about it. When, in fact, you're seeing all of these shootings happening all in the same of a day or so, from the May 13th, 14th, and 15th of this weekend. So I'm as angry as all get out, and also I applaud you for my thoughts overall. And it's good that we vent this out, but once we vent, we need to take action and do what we've been doing and get out there and have that conversation and keep pushing, because, again, the movement and the civil rights that we're fighting for never ends. We won't end our journey until our journey ends and the Lord says it's time to go home. So with that, everyone, get on your battle armor and let's get out there and start resolving these issues. I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Amen. Let's give a big hand for Professor Reed. Wow. Oh my gosh. Our Professor Reams is a real professor. He wasn't here. He was doing graduations for the kids. He is a professor at a wonderful, wonderful facility where kids are educated and they get their degrees. Praise God for Professor Reams. We're so honored to have him on our executive board, on our show, and all the members of the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Without further ado, and then right after this, we're going right into our topic, and we're going to get deeper than the ocean, higher than the mountain, and swifter than the rivers on this particular topic, which is our second half about abortion. Abortion is extremely important. Just saying the word, I'm getting the Holy Ghost chills, because nobody has the right to take away the right. I don't care if it's in Mississippi, Georgia, Atlanta, Texas, Chicago, Detroit, North Dakota, South Dakota, South Carolina, North Carolina, Colorado, or anywhere else in the United States of America. You cannot take away a woman's right for her to get an abortion if she needs one or if she wants one. That is not who – you cannot play God. You are not God. Supreme Court, you are not God. There's a higher source that you need to answer to. And half of you up there on the Supreme Court don't even know who God is. You're so busy trying to do an I, and a me, me. It's not about I or me. It's about we, the people, who have the right to stand up for justice and equality. Either we're going to stand for something or we're going to fall for anything. And we are not going for the okey-doke. There's no bamboozling with this right here, okay? This is a very sensitive matter, and you better hear our women. You better hear our women. Government, United States of America, hear our women and hear them now. Without further ado, we are going to go to Clarence and Mellon. Thank you, Maurice Ballantyne. Welcome, Maurice Ballantyne. Welcome, Monica, everybody. And I want to thank you for what you said, Elaine, on Facebook Live. Yes, there needs to be better control when you're selling weapons, but guess what? These aren't the kind that get sold over the counter. These are ghost guns. If you don't know what a ghost gun is, go to Google and Google ghost guns. These are guns that are bought in the black market that anybody can get. You don't need a license. You don't need to be screened. You just walk up with your money and you buy these ghost guns and you put them together and you just get in trouble with them.
Oh, and Pastor okay, so Jones, you can also make them yourselves through 3D printing. So you don't even have to go to a store anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do apologize. Yes.
No. That's very pertinent information, that you can do 3D printing and make your weapon at home. Ain't that crazy for you? Also people who have mental health problems that shouldn't have a gun at all. Yes, I agree with that. Because there's a lot of people walking around with guns that do have mental disabilities, just like the guy who went in there and shot the people at Tufts. He has a mental disability. And I don't feel sorry for him. You know, if that would have been a black man that did that, they would have shot him dead. The SWAT team was there. They arrested this white person who perpetrated this murder, a murder spree. And I'm very unhappy with that. I'm tired of it. I'm over it already, okay? I don't want to hear about what can be done. I want to hear what you're going to do. Because if we have one more of these kind of things going on, I'm calling our National Guard, the Black National Guard. Amen. Y'all haven't met the Black National Guards yet.
Amen.
But you will. And I'm not making a threat. No. I'm just saying it's time out for that kind of activity on innocent people shopping in a grocery store. I don't know if it makes me emotional. I cried when I heard. I really did. I teared up, and I started praying to God, asking God, help us, God. But God only doesn't want us to pray about it. God wants us to be about it. Somebody didn't hear me right now. I said God don't want us to just pray about it. There's action that comes along with your prayer. You want to move a mountain out of your life, you can't just talk about the mountain moving. You got to help that mountain get moved out of your life. God will give you the power to overcome that mountain. And right now, the mountain is racism. And we have the power and the authority to move that mountain, hallelujah, out of our lives. If somebody heard me right now on the show, clap your hands. If you heard me, if you just heard me, clap your hands. If you heard me, clap your hands. If you heard me, my God, my God. Whew, boy, I tell you. Okay, Clarence and Allen, take the floor. Give us your take on the shootings. And I mean, not only that, don't forget about the shooting in Houston at the flea market, where I think five or six people were shot there. And then there was in Newport Beach, somebody went on a shooting spree and killed, I think, three people. Remember, it was an eclipse of the moon yesterday. And I'm not saying that the moon scientifically, biologically did something, but people were definitely out of character during the eclipse. Clarence, take the floor. Go ahead, brother.
Yes. Thank you, Pastor Eddie. Thank you to all our listeners. Another atrocity, another topic that we shouldn't be discussing. And I'm going to go back a couple of hundred years to the 1700s, preferably 76, when they were drafting the Constitution and they written the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. And during that time, there was a war with the colonials against the British. And so when they were writing that draft, they written that draft so those who were to come here and to become citizens in this nation had the right to bear arms, you know, because of the British rule. And also, you know, the frontier, the wilderness, and all that, you had the natives. So there were several reasons for them to write that Second Amendment. But as we advance into say that Second Amendment needs to be restructured, because these high capacity guns, who needs that? You know, these guns that can shoot 100 rounds in just a few seconds. These long clips. Why you have people with bunkers with hundreds of guns and thousands of rounds of ammunition? So when we look at this 18-year-old kid who's been practicing this for years, he's been practicing to go to this predominant black community to kill these people. He had rehearsed it. He had gotten serious about this earlier in the year in January about doing this. He went in that neighborhood and ate first. And so when we have these white inferiorities, do not allow these people to dictate to you what to call them, because they are not superior or supreme to no one. Because if you are supreme to somebody, you don't have to go out and kill anything that's lesser. You will go out and kill something that you believe is supreme to you. And this is why they're doing it. And this is why they have the replacement theory, because they think they are being replaced by us when we were already here. So these primitive thinking, ill-educated people, this is what they do. They hate themselves. They curse all day long. It comes from their primitive nature. They curse everything and kill and pillage, rape, destroy everything. It's in their nature. It's in their history. If we were surgeons and had a scalpel, we couldn't cut down deep enough in their heart and cut it out. It'll grow back because it's rooted in some of them. You can take them. You can educate them, Pastor E, Pastor Eddie, to all our listeners. Yes, you can take them. You can educate them. You can give them the finest things in life. But that nature, for some of them, they cannot relinquish that. And so I don't know how they took this guy in alive. He should have been shot dead on the spot. Anybody who's going to kill citizens in a mass capacity, premeditated, should be killed. Not taken to McDonald's for a Big Mac. Not ridden around paraded like they done doing something. So, you know, this evil of racism, I was telling you earlier this morning, I'm in Montana right now. We stopped in Idaho. I'm the only black guy in the line in the store. So this backwards hillbilly, fifth grade educated bully, he looks to be about 50 years old, look up the line, and I'm the only black man. So he comes up to me and says, well, I'm behind this guy.
So
I said, no, you're not. He said, I'm behind this guy. I stood my ground. No, you're not. But I'm the right one for him, and I really regret that I didn't spend more time in educating him past that fifth grade bully, because I have dealt with them all my life and handled them really well, been very successful. But, you know, I kind of regret I didn't spend more time educating him and bringing him out of his uneducated level of life. So I'm going to return it back to you. Thank you for everyone who listened.
Wow. Thank you, Brother Clarence and Alan, for sharing. Thank you for Clarence, thank you for regulating the situation with the out-of-control individual in the gas station. I'm quite sure he learned a lesson that he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And sometimes you just have to tell people this is the wrong place.
No,
it's the wrong place
and
the wrong time.
At the right place. At the right time, because he needed to come and meet me. It was destined to happen.
Yes, he did. Yes,
amen.
He did. But after he was in the right place at the right time, after his question or his statement, he found out that he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I mean, after he was in the right place at the right time, he found out he was in the wrong place, and his place was back at the end of the line. And it was the wrong time for him to try to.
Let me share this right quick. Please let me share this.
Come on.
I was at a post office in Carson, California during Christmas time some years back. And, you know, they have the rail in the post office where you go along the rail. So when my turn comes, the lady was at the other end. When she said next, I didn't hear her. and there was enough space for the person behind me to ease between me and the rail and go to the window. And what this guy want to do that for? I was breathing down his neck, walking to the window with him, and when he turned around, and the line was going out the door, 4:30, the post office was about to close. You know what I said? I say, I know I'm black, but it ain't night.
Oh, my gosh, man. Clarence,
in other
you had
words,
to drop it on
me. You're a black person real good. That night,
right.
I might give you a pass.
Hmm. Well, I'm glad you didn't have to regulate the manual, okay? I'm just glad you didn't have to regulate.
That's regulate.
Anyway,
I know I'm black, but it ain't not.
Right. Well, okay, hey, you're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. We're on a very sensitive topic right now. We're going to leave this topic in just a few moments. I want to go to my sister, Vera Jones. Vera Jones, what do you think about all the shootings that took place over the weekend, especially the shooting in Buffalo, New York, where a grandmother, 86 years old, well known in the community, and the security officer that was shot and killed, he saved a lot of people from getting killed because he's black and he's an ex-police officer and he had been working at that store for years. So if he hadn't have been there to he shot it out with them, but of course he lost because he didn't have on a bulletproof outfit like this shooter did. The shooter had on everything bulletproof, from the helmet to his feet. So the bullets, I think the officer, if the officer would have shot him in the head, he would have killed him, and then he probably would have been able to stop him. But in the midst of something happening in a matter of seconds, you have to make split-second decisions. And his biggest important decision was just take out my weapon and fire back. And that's what he did, and it cost him his life, but he saved lives. It might have been 20 or 30 people shot and killed had it not been for the black police officer. I don't have his name right now, but maybe Clarence or Professor, if you could look up his name and look up the names of all the victims that were shot and killed at the Topps store, that'll be great. We'll have that for you in just a minute. But the reality of it is that 86-year-old grandmother that was well-known in the community and all the other people that were shot and killed, my heart goes out to the families right now. I send my deepest condolences and sympathies to each one of the family members, and I hope you get the counseling that you need. I hope you get the love, unconditional love, because Buffalo, New York said that they're a city of love and friendship, and I believe them. And this guy came from outside the city, and he didn't have no love, and he didn't have no friendship, and whoever motivated him to do that, since he's living right now, he's going to regret everything that he did. I don't want to hear no pleading. I'm so sorry. I could care less. No. Yeah, you're sorry, all right. You're a sorry person to do a coward act such as that. Okay? And God, I'm going to leave you in God's hands because God said he will fight our battles, but your punishment is imminent. It will come to pass. Anyway, Vera Jones, take the floor. What do you think about what happened at the grocery store at Topps in New York off of Jefferson Avenue?
Eddie, I'm saddened to hear about any and all shootings. Whenever they're taking anyone's life, this is very tragic, and I'm praying for the universe right now, and this is 911. We have to put more love on this planet, and we have to step up to help the children, the young ones. They need someone to speak to. Feed good information to them. And if you find out that things are that particular child or man, woman, they're acting different, totally different, it's like we need to help them and find some type of way that we have to step up. And the gentleman that you spoke about that stepped up to put his life before others, that's amazing. It's like someone always steps up. So that part is a blessing.
Amen, Vera. Thank you very much, Vera. Granny V, thank you for that information there, Granny V. All right. Thank you.
Pastor Jones.
You know, I want to go to my daughter, Talana Jones. I see all the new people that came on Facebook Live. Thank you. We're getting ready to go on the topic of abortion, and just as a part two of abortions, and we're going to have some testimonies about some people who worked in Congress
who actually testified what they had to go through and why they had to get an abortion. Now, you don't normally hear people from Congress, women from Congress, talking about this. They don't normally come out and tell you a testimony about their personal life on why they had to get an abortion, but their personal testimony will let us all know why stopping them from stopping women from getting abortions is so important right now. It's a top priority in the United States of America, and it's a very important priority in the United States of America.
Pastor Jones,
everybody has
can one. You hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes. The veteran who police officer who was gunned down, his name is Aaron Salter, Jr. He's a 30-year veteran of Buffalo Police Department, was gunned down by the racist shooter at Tops Supermarket. And so he was the one who had tried, and they said he saved some lives in the process.
Wow, yes,
so again, Aaron Salter, Jr. Mm-hmm.
And
really
also
just find the names of the others.
Okay, good. The 86-year-old mother, I want to get her on too. Talana Jones, take the floor. Tell us how you feel about the shooting in Milwaukee after the Superstar basketball game, and also the shooting that took place at Tops in Buffalo, New York. Go right ahead, Talana. Take the floor.
I'm going to use the word that you've said countless times over, but it's becoming more and more worse as the year progresses. So I just feel like this is all famine. People who are not covered in the blood of Jesus and don't understand what it means to be saved are going through the transition of chaos, turmoil, tribulation, anything that has to do with evil, the opposite of holy. And my heart goes out to all of the families that have that were either –
Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
It's okay. Not finished. Almost back. Almost finished. And so the very last part, Dad, I just want my heart does go out to the families. I pray for all of them and hope that even the wounded, the ones who were afflicted by this situation, and hope that they really do. I don't know what to say about the system anymore. I really don't. It's kind of corrupt and lost.
Yes.
But I'll yield back. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Talana. Let's give Talana a big hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God, Talana.
Well
thank
said,
you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Well said. Yes, sir.
Yes. The name of the 86-year-old woman who is also a former cop is Ruth Whitfield. And that's the person who also died at the shooting as well.
What's her name again?
Ruth Whitfield.
Oh, Whitfield. And is she also an ex-police officer?
She was also a part of the police officer staff, yeah.
Wow. What a coincidence. And you know, and he shot her down like, man, I don't even want to get into it, but that was a cowardly act. I want to shout out Missionary Sophie, who's all the way from Kenya, Africa on Facebook Live. Thank you for joining us all the way from Kenya, Africa. Also, Brother Glenn Yost and Amina Saladina, thank you all for joining us again. We are getting ready to go into a topic that's deeper than the ocean, higher than the mountains, and swifter than the rivers, and that is the topic of abortion. We will revisit at the end of the show during the commentary on what happened with the shooting in Milwaukee, and the shooting at Tops grocery store in Buffalo, New York, and the shooting in Houston, Texas at the flea market, and the shooting in Newport Beach in the district out there where some people were shot and killed as well. Now we're going to we're changing, we're going on our topic right now. Last week we talked about abortion. We heard some very important testimonies. If anybody wants to testify or call in and say something about abortion, I want to hear from you. How do you feel about this movement that women are doing right now across the United States? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I just want to – okay, praise the Lord. And so how do you feel how do you feel about what's going on right now with the abortion movement? We're going to get those testimonies in a little while that you can hear that Congress said, these women from Congress said, and then there's one man who talked, one congressperson who talked about what happened to his wife. And so we want to hear that this morning on the show. Last week we talked about it. It was very important. We heard a lot of good information. One of the things about abortion that I feel that there's not enough of, one of the things that we feel that is not enough of for abortion is not enough literature. We need more literature. So if a woman walks into a clinic, she wants to read about why, what is the abortion process. We need to teach more of our young people about what the process is of abortion. So then that way when they go in, they know what they're going in, they're getting into. It should never be a time when somebody's going to get an abortion, they don't have all the information on why they're getting an abortion or how to get an abortion or what happens after the abortion or what is the long-term process after. Will it affect you psychologically? Will it affect you mentally? Because I've heard some testimonies from some women that say even to this day it still bothers them that they even had to get an abortion, but they had to thank God that they could get an abortion because at that time they needed to get an abortion. Now, did it hurt them mentally and psychologically? Yes, it did. Was it the best thing for them to do at that time? Yes, it was. For whatever reason, whether it was a medical reason or whether the baby was stillborn inside of her and they had to still abort the baby because it was stillborn or what, or maybe it had a birth defect that was just never going to be right and they just had to do the abortion. I don't know. But I've heard the testimonies, and my heart goes out to the women, and I was invited. I signed up for a march over the weekend. I didn't go, but I wanted to keep up with all the emails, and over 500,000 women across the United States marched over the weekend from all race, creed, and color, and all nationalities came together in solidarity to talk about something near and dear to their heart, and that was the abortion process and the law not being passed for them not to have the power to say that they cannot get an abortion, that they will have to go to another state. Now, the state of Mississippi is really, really pressing this, and, of course, the state of Texas. I wonder why. But, you know, it always has to be one of these other states in the South that want to practice their old ways. Please throw away your old ways, and let's step into a whole new millennium. Wake up and smell the coffee because there's a new cup being brewed every second. And you need to get ready, and come up to date. This is a very important subject matter, very important topic. I'm going to go right to Professor Reams. Professor Reams, please take the floor. What's going on with the law that's up at the Supreme Court level now? What do you think transpired and what's happening? Where are we at now? Go right ahead.
Thank you, Pastor Jones. Now I'm going to begin because I could feel that you had a brilliant conversation last week. But one thing that also struck me was that I was at my graduation, at my students' graduation, and where I teach at is 90% of my daughters, young women. And it was just so, I was so proud of them, all the fields of human endeavor that they're going into, and also mad at the same time. But I was also looking at their boyfriends wanting to take a baseball bat to make sure they're not pressuring them to do whatever they need to do that would cause them any problems. So I'll get into that later on. But the situation is, as far for me, I want all rights, because let us look at the history of what has gone on. If we're going back from the 1700s to the 1900s, women did not have any rights. They were owned like chattel. So, and that's the part that people keep forgetting, is that no property, no rights. You have to go to your husband for everything. Let's just suppose this 200 years later, and it took that long just to get the right to vote, to have a credit card, to have all these things overall. So this is not just the right for one single issue. This is the right for having the rights as everyone else has, and also defining what womanhood is. Because the fact that the idea that anyone, half of our better part of our population, would have to be considered ownership by men is disgusting in its face. And that's why I fall on the fact that I want the right so that everybody has the right to make a decision. If you were asked, and this was the same argument that was used when people were asked to take the shot or wear a mask or whatever in general. You can't tell me what to do with my body. The government should leave it alone. Okay, then why are we cherry-picking? Why are we cherry-picking where women have run the home, have had the kids, have to deal with idiot men, and also have to deal with all this other stuff? And you're telling me that they cannot have the right to make a decision? That's why I would come to the some of the young gals or boyfriends and says, we're going to have a talk about your respect to this young lady that I've just worked with, because I'd like to kick your butt at this point. So, bottom line, let's have that wood chip thing. Just like the regulator, it was a good day to meet me because it was the day that you were going to meet me. Because, of course, they don't need you to make a decision for them. Let me dial this
right.
Let's go back to what's going on with the Supreme Court. Now, the one thing about the Supreme Court is that, once again, when we're making these laws, there are laws that are the law of the land. That's the Constitution, then you have statutes, and then you have existing laws that the Supreme Court will look at. In order for these laws to get to the Supreme Court has to choose which one it wants to go through. But since we've had issues with folks on the right trying to push this issue since Roe was decided, they're always trying to push things to the Supreme Court that would slowly eat away at the ruling that the right to have an abortion. It started out, well, which part of the abortion is going to be pulled back? Should it be by the second trimester or the third trimester? So that's why they ended up with 20 weeks or so, because that, out of common sense, is the time that the woman knows that the that she's pregnant, okay? 6 weeks is ridiculous. The law in Mississippi pushes that from 20 weeks back to 15 weeks, which is still ridiculous, because then it means that any time that there was any interaction between male and female, the woman is responsible for monitoring week up to the sixth week to see if there's a pregnancy or not. And if that's the case, that's pretty much ridiculous, because the onus is on them. And this is where I get my baseball back to the men. Where were the men wearing the condoms and being part of this since it takes two to tango? Okay? If we're going to have birth control, then both sides, on one side, why does a woman have to take the burden? The men also should have that, and also should have the burden of also taking care of the child as well. So let me dial this back again. Now, as it stands, when they put this law forward, this was the linchpin, because the Congress, dealing with Mitch McConnell, had stacked the court. They had stacked the court with right-wing judges, and then they have also added in with the six with Amy Judge Conan Barrett. And so now you have a six group of folks who are leaning, right-leaning, and what they used to call what occurred with Thurgood Marshall and the civil rights movement, judicial activism. And it's not based on precedent anymore, because the Supreme Court has what is called stare decisis, and that it has allowed us to move from Plessy versus Ferguson to Board of Education, where they will regulate and interpret the law as it relates to society while defending it. In this situation, what they're going to try to do is overturn an existing law which has had 50 years of precedent, which has been supported over the years, because they want to. Now, Judge Alito's opinion goes back to the 1700s. That's why I started out with from the 1700s to the 1900s of the status of women during that time, during the time when women had no rights whatsoever to say that this is the precedent that you're going back to justify, to eliminate the right to an abortion because it wasn't in the Constitution. However, when the Constitution was written, similar to what Clarence Allen had mentioned of the circumstances, that came from European where women didn't have rights at all. So they weren't, so those men, if you want to call them that, were not going to put in anything which allowed the women to have any power over property or their body. So how can you go back there and say that you're using this as a reference when, in fact, you're just wanting to take women back to where it's back to being marital slaves overall? Okay?
Well,
period. So this is where we are. Thank God for the leak. And I do say that because, as you've mentioned, let God handle your business, because whoever it was definitely God inspired to leak this thing. Because otherwise, if you had waited till June, you would have all of our wonderful women would have awoke, finding out that Roe v. Wade had been overturned. And there would have been no way that it could have been changed over, because the Supreme Court is the last place to go, and you can't overturn the Supreme Court once they make a decision. This, of course, through Mitch McConnell and the right-wingers, was part of their long-term gain since the decision on Roe. The next step now is just for them to happen. But now with the leak and with the protest or so, they're scared, because this wasn't supposed to happen. This was supposed to just, as they did with the Texas law, they decided not to even address it. They didn't even talk about it. They just slid it under the table to allow it to go. So this is where we are. Instead of talking about the heinous problem that will occur by women losing this right, the Republicans are talking about the leak that occurred and how this is a travesty to the institution of the Supreme Court. Really?
Yeah.
The population is going to lose a right, and you're worried about the Supreme Court, which should have been expanded a long time ago. And let's be quite honest. Supreme Court's 9 number is not permanent. In the years from 1700 to 2000, it's been as low as 5, and has been, and even under Obama, it was at 8. And I'm still angry at the Democrats because of that. They should have fought for that seat that Mitch McConnell denied Barack Obama, because then that would have not placed us in where we are right now. That's an old discussion. Once again, we'll move on. So where we're at is waiting. Roberts is trying to do damage control. You've already seen that, unfortunately, Clarence Thomas has had to do some damage control, and Alito has been silent. So as the numbers grow, we at Team Justice have said, you do not know what you have just released when you have not only the women of this country but around the world congregating to say, we ain't going back to the 1700s where you can tell us what to do and we don't have the rights whatsoever. You all must be crazy. And this would give Uncle Joe, our president, impetus to support expanding the court, which would balance this. Or we have investigations of each of the justices who lied on the stand when they said they would protect Roe v. Wade during the Senate hearings to be impeached. So let's just say that we, the legal community, are so infuriated that, except for the shooter, we're in line to go after the Supreme Court as well, because this does not make any sense whatsoever. And for them to have to pull back to the 1700s for law, which is very obscure in the first place, is just ridiculous. That's why when you can't change what the decision of the Supreme Court is, this is why the midterms are important, because they try to codify, which means they were trying to take it from being a ruling, which would have been supported by, could be changed by the Supreme Court and their decisions and overturning it, to making it an actual law that would be up to interpretation, but at least would be a law that Congress and them had control over. That was defeated, 49-51, because of the filibuster. So with the filibuster going in, you have to have a vote of 60 votes overall, and this is not a constitutional procedure. This is just a tradition in the Congress. But we have those who have decided that the filibuster must stand, Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin, where all we had to do is get 50 votes to eliminate the filibuster so that we could get a lot of what President Biden's agenda is through the Congress. Well, because we have fell short by 2 votes, the filibuster stands. And this is the same filibuster that Martin Luther King had when civil rights and the Voting Rights Act was also being debated back in the 60s.
Yes.
So where we are is a wait and see. Either two things will happen. One, the jig is up and they decide not to go forward and take away Roe. They may just support that Mississippi's 15-week instead of the standard 20-plus weeks should stand. Okay, that would be easy because then at least abortion rights will still be there, but at least it will be down to 15. The other side is that if it is overturned, then that means it becomes a free-for-all because we already know that 26 states are going to ban abortions or use the Texas model as 6 weeks, which means that you have 6 weeks to get your abortion. After that, it's illegal. But if you go beyond that, anyone who provides that can now, there's a bounty hunter scheme where your neighbors can think on you and get $10,000 if they find out that a clinic was providing abortions illegally. Okay? So there's also talk about repealing contraception because in reviewing this, which I talk to my daughters all the time, abortions have gone down to 13.5% nationwide. And it's due to good contraceptives and education, so kudos to parents. And teen pregnancy is barely down to 9%. It's just in the 20 to 25 or 25 to 29 level. And these are folks who are primarily economically challenged, but they already have children, but they just can't afford to have another child overall or health issues or problems. When this is repealed, you are committing women to a death sentence because from the recent statistics, and I hate to say this, but Texas, as an example, has a severe maternal mortality crisis where black women are three times more likely than white women to die during pregnancy or as a result of childbirth. Okay? Many of these poor states may or may not have proper infrastructure and institutions that are well-funded for health care in the first place. And we, being African Americans, being on the lowest end of the totem pole with health care, would be the victims of this, along with Hispanics and other people of color. So if this is the case, then it would mean that Planned Parenthood and some of the other organizations would have to put all of their emphasis through donations, through prayer, through the church, as you've mentioned, Pastor Jones, on prevention. And also picking the right person to be with, of which families would have to get back together and talk to each other about who's dating and blah, 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 and all this other stuff. And, of course, the idea of the shotgun wedding could come back, all those things that would happen. And then us fathers making sure that if we find that person, they better have good insurance. Because it's the preventative measures that that have been beneficial. But if they put in provisions where contraceptive is also illegal, now we're back really far. And plus, there's a horrible rumor that the adoptions, you know, there's not anymore, or adoption, I'd like to see by demographic. Okay, what are they talking about in that situation? Because we have more than enough kids in as wards of the state. And going through a doctor with our own doctor, Aretha, the trauma that comes out, even with the person is born, there's a sense of closure that's happening of the question of why did my mother abandon me or my biological mother that comes in. So you have consequences on both sides. At least you're alive, but sometimes you wish you were dead, and then sometimes you thank God that you're alive because you're here. But if we don't have the family unit of a village to raise the child or the money to be able to raise the child, the child costs about $2 to $3 million per child, and if you are struggling, then you need the support of the community. That's why whatever choice is made, I have seen it where the person was going to get the abortion and changed their mind. I've also seen it where the person, you know, decides to adopt, or they decide that the last one is something else. That's your God-given right, because God gives you a choice. Maybe you can follow him or not, but at least he gives you a choice. I don't know why we can't do the same thing overall. But in the end, where we stand is it's an I don't know. We'll have to wait till June and see. But the mobilization, thank goodness, in May, I'm seeing that 52% of males agree that abortion should be banned. I'm going to make sure I push that even higher. That should be 80%, you know, and whether you like condoms or not, you better have one and you better use it, sort of thing. And also, if they have a contraceptive pill, men, take that too and think about what you're going to do with your family. But then I also understand that there are families that just can't afford to have another child. Okay. As you said, there are so many different dynamics to what's going on, but it's good that you have the right to make that decision. Because if you make decisions about everything else, why can't you make decisions about your own body? Why?
Right.
So,
right.
In the end, this is where we are. I hope that for the midterms, this comes up, because that would be the only thing that happens should they go in that direction. Some of my colleagues think that they're only going to narrow it down now that the jig is up to considering whether they're going to keep it at 20 weeks or keep it at 15 weeks or narrow it down. But then there's the others that says let's prepare for the worst, because this has been the agenda forever, and now it's time. And as Chuck Schumer said, now we will see who the villains are, so that we can work to vote them out. With that in mind, I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Let's give a big hand for Professor Ray on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. And you just heard from our professor, Professor Reams, who knows a lot about social justice. He knows a lot about, you know, he's a professor in social justice and music history. Also, he's just a well astute gentleman who we are so happy to have on our executive board. And without further ado, we're going to go right to Clarence and Allen. It's about 10:16 a.m. At about 10:30, we'll be going into our regular segments. We also have Minister Lori Milowitz on Facebook Live. Minister Lori, if you can call in, we would love to get a prayer from you this week about this abortion, about the shootings in Buffalo, New York, and in Milwaukee, and in Houston, Texas. So dial 646-787-8064. Minister Lori, call into the show. We need your prayers this morning. 646-787-8064. If somebody on Facebook Live could type in the number to the show, please, anybody, 646-787-8064, and then you press 1, and it'll put you in the queue. You prayed for us last week, and we would love to have you pray for us this week, too. Minister Lori Milowitz, please call me. All the way from Connecticut, if I believe. I might be right. Yeah, Connecticut, I think it is. Let's see here. Hold on a second. Let's see. Okay, we have. All right, good. So we are talking about abortion. Brother Clarence, are you with us, Brother Clarence? Are you there?
I am.
Brother Clarence, were you able to obtain the testimonies from the Congress people about abortion?
I have, Pastor Eddie.
Oh, well, praise God. Thank you for putting that on Facebook Live. Thank you so very much. The number to the show is 646-787-8064. If you want to say something, we want Minister Lori Milowitz to please call in and press 1. It'll put you in the queue, and we want to get a prayer from you. Clarence, please take the floor. Let's hear about these testimonies.
Jabal, we all have been university educated by Professor Reams. I'd like to thank you, Professor Reams, for giving us information and knowledge that you can only get on the Eddie Justice Jones Blog Talk Radio show on Monday morning. So have your friends go to blogtalkradio.com, hit the search button, and type in Eddie Jones Jr. _production. These shows are archived, so you can go back and get this information. You're not going to get it nowhere but here on this station, or you can dial 646-787-8064 and listen in live. You can go to Facebook Live. I believe Pastor Ed is on Instagram. Hey, this is produced everywhere. And so I was looking at this abortion thing with people of Congress, And we have five members that have come forward with their experience where they had the experience or have to have an abortion, or their spouse had had to have an abortion. And we're looking at Representative Cori Bush, Pramila Jayapal, Barbara Lee, Jackie Speier, and even spoke of his wife's experience of having to get an abortion. And so let me go down here. And so it says,
yeah,
Cori highlighted how the majority of women who have had abortions were already mothers. Speaking about abortion, she had when her first child was just a few years old, I realized there was just no way that I could possibly take care of Janet, which was her first child, and take care of myself. Senator Peters shared the story of how an abortion saved his wife's life when she faced a lethal infection at the end of her second trimester. Representative Lee highlighted the danger of back alley abortion. She went to Mexico. She was 17 years old, and she had to go to Mexico. I believe she was out of Mississippi, somewhere down south, and her mother paid for her flight and gave her $200 when they got information of a doctor in Mexico back during that time. That was 40, 50 years ago. And she said for black girls and women, that was a cause of death for many of them not to get that abortion. And as Ellie reminded us in the video, abortion patients are your neighbors, your friends, your colleagues, and yes, even your elected officials. So, you know, when we look at this, Pastor Eddie, and we look at these people of Congress who have also had to go through these experiences and make these choices, these choices were to save their lives and to save even the life of their child that was already alive because it was just too astronomical situation for them, a life-threatening event. And so this topic you brought up, Pastor Eddie, is such a hot topic. We have gotten so much information from Professor Reams. I mean, I couldn't keep up with the notes. I would have to just have record. Better yet, I would have to go back and replay this at blogtalkradio.com, Eddie Jones Jr. _production, and get a replay because Professor Reams covered all the bases. He hit nothing but home runs on this topic. So Pastor Eddie, to my co-hosts and producers, to all the listeners, thank each and every one of you. May God bless all of you women who may get pregnant, to have a healthy pregnancy. And if it's a situation where it was unplanned, you were violated, do what you have to do to save yourself and the blessings of your family. God bless you all.
All right, let's give a big hand for Clarence M. Allen. Thank you, Brother Clarence. That was nice. Very nice. That's it.
Excellent. That's Brother Clarence. The regulator.
That was well executed. And you just heard five testimonies from people who work in Congress for the United States of America, and they're letting you know that they had their run-ins with abortion too. And I remember one of the congresswomen said that her and her significant other were out and they were young. And she said, next thing you know, they were going through the act of whatever. And she didn't know it, but she found out she was pregnant and she had to go down and get an abortion. And she was afraid. And she said it happened at, I think she was 17 years old. And now she's a congresswoman. And I'm just so glad that she testified that, because she's showing other young ladies that she's just a woman like any other woman. But the beauty of this is all the women galvanizing together and all on one accord to fight for their right. And that's so important that you fight for your rights. And welcome to the show, Annie And welcome to the show, Minister Lori Milowitz, and all the other people that have joined us on Facebook Live. Thank you so much. We're talking about an extremely very important topic, and that's the abort. This is part two of the abortion law that's up at the Supreme Court level that they're working on as we speak. And like Professor Arena said, yes.
I would encourage all the listeners, including all our hosts and panelists and all our listeners, Google it up and watch their video of these senators and these Congress people. It is really intriguing.
Yes, it is. I agree with you, Brother Clarence. And it's so important that you get knowledge so that you can get some wisdom. When you get the knowledge of our discussion, and then you can make it applicable to getting the wisdom of it, and that way you can, you know, not only talk about it more, but understand other people's feelings, especially the women who have to go through those procedures. You don't know what's going through their heart. You don't know what's going through their mind when they do these abortions, and it's not easy. And especially if a young lady is being told by her boyfriend, you better get an abortion, I'm on the football team, and this, that, and the other, by pressure, or sometimes because she might have been raped or whatever, or she might have been with a boyfriend who, whatever, wanted to tell her that she can't keep the baby, you know. Well, look, we all have rights, and we all have the right, and this goes up to the Supreme Court level. They don't have the right to tell you what you can and cannot do with your human body. I mean, people are going to get paid $10,000 to tell on somebody who has a clinic that does abortions. Now, you know it's going to be a lot of people hungry for $10,000, so they're going to say whatever. They might even create a situation. But I am praying for this whole overall abortion movement because it's just time for change. There's no way you can go back to a law that happened way back in the 1800s, okay? I mean, where there was no law, okay? There was no law in the 1700s. And then a law comes into order, and now the Supreme Court wants to kill the law and make their own law. And they want to play God with people's lives. And it's not right. It's real simple. We're going to go to Vera Jones. Vera Jones, please take the floor. Tell us what you feel about the abortion movement and the Supreme Court wanting to take away the right of women to have abortions. Go right ahead. Hey, Yvonne Michelle, my cousin. Hey, how are you? Go ahead, Vera, take the floor.
Okay, so, Eddie, I just have some strong feelings on this topic, and I just want to read this here. It says, a nation that kills its own children is a nation without hope. And that's by Pope John Paul II.
Wow.
And
wow.
It's like, you know, the embryo, of course, is created by the Most High. And all the circumstances may not be one that anyone on this earth would, you know, desire, especially like rape. And taking the life that God created, as everyone is speaking on, okay, to each his own. That's all I can say, because God never, ever makes mistakes.
Mm. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Vera. Let's give Vera a big hand, because it takes a lot to even say, you know, come on, talk about this. Thank you, Granny V. Thank you, Granny V.
Thank you for your courage, Vera.
Wow. Well, I'm going to go now. I'm going to go to Lana last, but I'm going to go to Linda Goldie right now. Linda Goldie, how do you feel about this whole abortion movement, the Supreme Court wanting to take away the rights of women to have abortions? How do you feel about that? You're one of our more mature women on the show. Please give us your opinion. Take the floor.
Well, I just have to say my personal experience was that the man, the father of my son, when I was dating him, I found out that he, his his idea of dating white women was that he wanted to impregnate all of them, so that because he thought that prejudice would go away if everybody was interracial. Okay, so.
Wow.
But also, he had an abortionist, so that if they didn't want to, you know, have the baby, that, of course, this was illegal, that, you know, it would. So that was his modus operandi. And I am so thankful that I did not have an abortion. And I am so grieved that my aunt, who was someone that I thought, you know, that I had respected, told my son that I considered having him aborted. Now that was something that she had no business doing, and you know, it just was like a dagger to my heart, you know, and of course it was a dagger to my son's heart, you know.
Yes.
So,
Linda Goldie, hold that thought. Linda Goldie, hold that thought for 1 second. Yvonne Michelle, the number to the show. Hold that thought. Don't go anywhere. We're going to come right back to you. The number to the show is 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. And then press 1. It'll put you in the queue. So, Yvonne Michelle, go ahead and call into the show. We're looking forward to hearing from you in just a few moments. 646-787-8064. Press 1. It'll put you in the queue, and I will get you right on the show. Okay, Linda Goldie, go ahead on. Retake the floor. I apologize. Someone was asking for the number. Go ahead. Go ahead, Linda Goldie.
Well, what saved my son, basically, was that the doctor who was doing all these abortions for the man who became my husband was arrested, so he didn't have anybody to do that anymore. And so we ended up getting married, but I'm so thankful to Professor Raines for his words about, you know, men's domination, because I remember the day that my husband was sitting outside talking to the neighbor who happened to be a minister, and he said, well, you just have to get him young and keep him barefoot and pregnant. And he would not allow me to work. He would not allow me to drive. You know, he just, and in one time, I mean, I had to wash the dishes when everybody else was watching TV. And one day I decided I wanted to watch TV too. He came in the kitchen and saw that I hadn't washed the dishes, and he started throwing them on the floor and breaking them, even though they were Milmac.
Oh, my God.
My daughter, it was summertime, my daughter was barefoot. She went in the kitchen to get something, and she just, you know, saw all this broken dishes on the floor. And I said, watch your feet, Heidi. And I went outside, and I sat on the side of the hill, and I just let him have his tantrum. You know, so that was my life with my children's father.
No.
But I did love him. I understood that he had had a previous wife that was unfaithful to him. He never trusted women. However, he was addicted to pornography, which was another grief of mine. You know, so, I have a lot of feelings about the subject.
Well, oh, my gosh. Let's give a big hand for Mrs. Linda Goldie. Let's give a big hand for Linda Goldie. Linda Goldie, Linda Goldie.
Thank you.
I don't know if you guys heard the message in what Linda Goldie just said. In her time, in her relationship, she went through a lot, you know, contemplating getting an abortion, and her husband and the whole story. But that was quite the testimony right there. We'll be coming back to get some poetry from you in just a few minutes. And it takes a whole lot of guts to share that.
Yvonne Michelle, I don't know. I'm waiting on you to call in at the 646-787-8064 number. Anyway, that was a great testimony. Wow. I'm still praying. I'm going to pray for that. Now, I just want to ask you, Linda, what year was that when you went through that? What year was that? What year were you in at that time?
I left home at 18 and went to California to be a singer. I met him when my girlfriend worked at a coffee shop called the Dragon Whip that became something else later on. And he was one of the people that frequented the coffee shop. That's how I met him. I guess I was probably maybe 19 when I was pregnant.
What year was that? 19 what?
I don't know. I don't keep track of dates like that.
But was it in the 60s or the 70s?
Yeah, it was in the 60s because it was
okay.
When all the civil rights stuff was happening and all that.
Okay.
You know.
Thank you so much, Linda Goldie. We'll be back in a minute for some poetry when we get ready to cool off from this topic. We're going to go into our regular segment in just a few minutes. But before we do, Talana Jones, take the floor. How do you feel about what you heard about abortion? Do you feel like the women's rights should be taken away and that they don't have a right to get an abortion when they want to? That's what this whole law is all about, stopping people from doing what they want to do. And I don't think it's right. But I want to hear you from my daughter, Talana Jones. Praise God. Thank you for whoever's watching. Oh, my God. Praise God. People are creating. Go ahead, Talana. Take the floor.
Thanks, Dad. Again, this week, this situation, this topic is a touchy situation for me. I had to go through a situation where I had to also almost, it was not completed, go through a process of receiving an abortion. And it was because I was too far along that the abortion did not go through, and I'm actually relieved that it didn't happen. For women who are going through situations that, like you said, if you're in a position where you have to get an abortion and it is a situation where you have no choice but to be strong through the process, God will get us through it. I don't believe in accidents either, as I heard Dr. Granny B say. Like, we have a choice, but that power of choice is also free will. It says in the Bible that thou shalt not kill. So that is a form of killing, believe it or not. And so for women who are just using abortion as a form of birth control, that's wrong. I believe it should be only for the women that you just spoke of who are going through dire straits and need that help and should be able to have their own right to be able to receive that assistance. Outside of that, I've never been a fan of abortion.
Amen. Is there anything else you want to say about it?
I just want to say God bless the women that have to go through it, because that is also a wound. It's a scar. It's something that you will never forget, and we have to learn to live with. So taking a life is also hard. Being able to compromise and sacrifice is just one of the multiple difficulties of being a woman. We have a lot of decisions that we have to make, and sometimes it's not in the best interest of everyone else. It's for us.
Amen. Praise
Amen.
God. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Big hand. You know, let's welcome to the show. Let's welcome to the show Aretha Adams Jones. Everybody say good morning to Aretha Adams Jones. Good morning, Aretha.
Good morning,
Dr. Aretha.
Hi there. How are you all doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Such an honor and a pleasure. Such an honor and a pleasure to have you on.
Good morning. Good morning, Sister Vera.
Well, we're gonna go to okay, it's 10:40, so we're gonna go into our regular segment. But before we close out, I just want to get the quick opinion of Aretha Adams-Jones, who does a lot of work with mental health. She is a mental health professional, and she works hard to take the stigma off of mental health, and which is very, very important. But I want to ask you right now, there's this law that the Supreme Court wants to put in order where women, it takes away the right for women to have abortions. Some women, we heard earlier about the Congress people who testified about why they had to get abortions when they were younger. One woman had to get an abortion because the baby got out of her uterus and moved into another area, and it wasn't going to make it. The baby was not going to make it, so they had to do an abortion. One congressperson had to have an abortion at 17 years old, but she still made her dream come true and became a congresswoman for the United States of America. There's several stories. What is your opinion? Go right ahead. Take the floor, Aretha Adams-Jones.
Yeah, so thank you so much, Pastor Eddie. I praise God from whom all blessings flow. And, you know, it's so tough. I think that, women have abortions for different reasons. Some women use abortions as a form of birth control. And I think that was your daughter that spoke before me, and I agree with her that, you know, I'm not a fan of abortions. However, I do believe, and I said it last week, like, you know, in cases of incest, in cases of rape, if you mentioned that someone, the fetus moved to another part of the body outside of the uterus, if it's a medical issue, maybe I'm wrong for saying this, but I do believe that if it's life-threatening or if it's a medical condition, things like that, I think that abortion should be allowed. But if you're just having an abortion because it's inconvenient, no, I don't agree with that. But thank you for letting me share.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much. Aretha Adams Jones, affectionately known, AKA Dr. Aretha Adams Jones. AKA. Now you're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights, and we need to stand up for something, or we're going to fall for anything. We need to stand up about equality. We don't want any injustices. What a show we have had for you today. Now we're going to count down. We're going to go to Linda Goldie with just a little bit of poetry. Right after that, we're going to go to Vera Jones with Health and Wellness. After that, we're going to go to Aretha Adams-Jones with Mental Health and You. After that, we're going to go to Talana Jones with Words of Wisdom, Words of Wisdom. After that, we're going to go to Clarence M. Allen with Regulate the Manual. And then last but not least, on our wonderful, phenomenal, fantastic, tremendous show of information about civil, constitutional, and human rights, we're going to have Professor Reams with the commentary. You don't want to miss it. Stay with us on Facebook Live. Stay with us on blogtalkradio.com. And stay with us at 646-787-8064. Press 1. It'll put you in the queue. I see you out there, Cousin Michelle. Go ahead. Take your time. Keep working on getting in. You might need to use somebody else's cell phone. Okay, but keep working on getting in. We want to get you on before we leave the show. Linda Goldie, please take the floor. Give us poetry in motion. Go right ahead, Linda Goldie.
Okay, this is called Women Wait. Though you might never give it thought, women wait for men a lot. From infancy to past their prime, you see them waiting all the time. What for? It doesn't matter. More and more they find it most distressing, and they mind it. With the wrinkles so increasing, they are waiting for releasing from the little life they've got. So if you're waiting, thanks a lot.
Wow, okay, let's give a big hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Well done. Well said.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well said. Without further ado, it is time for health and wellness. Health and wellness. Vera Jones, please take the floor. Give us health and wellness. Vera, are you there?
Yes, Eddie.
Hello?
I am here.
Okay. All right.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. So glad. Go right ahead.
Okay,
take your time.
Okay. So today I want to speak a little bit just about a couple of nutrients, food and nutrition. We all deserve longevity, right? Yes, because we all want to remain as healthy as possible. Because in the past, we didn't have to take as many minerals, supplements, herbs, plants, because guess what? The soil was so much better. And there's a disclaimer. I am not a doctor. However, I am Dr. Granny V. Now, we must have some basic nutrients, but if our body is sick, guess what? Our body is lacking something, so we have to listen to our body. And we have to go within to feel what's happening. If you're feeling any numbness, tingling, pain, or some type of different feeling that you should not feel. Now, if you can, check with your doctor on a regular basis so you can find out what your body is or is not lacking. And we can make sure that we can have as many great nutrients as possible. And we need immune system boosters. And what happens is it clears toxins, joint pain, it helps us with restful sleep, and weight management, because we need to get out there and get fresh air and walk daily. Now, we need to include some probiotics for gut health. And if you're feeling really sick and your stomach is usually hurting by overeating, just put a couple of probiotics in your body, like sauerkraut, kimchi, kefir, kombucha, or yogurt. You can also have pickles, yummy. So if you're feeling low energy, vitamin B. And if you're having some mood swings, dementia, brain function, or if your metabolism is always low, you need a little boost of energy, and you can include some fish and meat. Body is aching from muscle aches. Your body is lacking magnesium, and if you're having inflammation to your body, it will help relax the muscles. If you're craving for sugar, the chromium, that's really good for the sugar craves. If your hair is dry, and your skin is dry, you're feeling fatigued with cold hands and feet, include some zinc into your body. And for bone loss, we all need some vitamin D. Now, if you're feeling sluggish and bloated, the diatomaceous earth is great for the digestion problems. And last but not least is include some flaxseed, because it helps slow cancer growth, and it helps to stabilize your blood sugar, your weight, and it's a great omega. So if you can get some fish oil in your body along with that good old cod liver oil, the cod liver oil helps with depression, pain, and swelling. And if you can, include the colors of the rainbow, add more H2O, green tea, black tea, herbs, and all your cruciferous vegetables and berries. Amen.
Wow.
Amen. 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 Let's give a big hand. Thank you so much, Granny V.
Amen.
We have been educated.
I'd like to get a burn out of that.
Well done, yes, Dr. Granny V.
Yes. It's 10:49 a.m. You're on the countdown with the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Without further ado, Aretha Adams Jones, a.k.a. Dr. Aretha Adams Jones, take the floor. Give us mental health and you.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor Eddie. And today I'll come to you with just talking about empathy. Well, we all know that empathy is the capacity to understand or to feel what another person is experiencing, or the capacity to place oneself in another position. And I just want to briefly tell you that there are benefits of empathy. Benefits in your health. You have less stress, less negativity. It leads to a happier life. It improves communication skills, leads to teamwork, creates a healthy work environment. It transcends personal relationships, and it decreases negativity. So learn to emphasize today, okay? And remember, mental health matters, and it's time to remove the stigma. God bless you, and have an empathetic day. God bless you.
All right, let's give a big hand. Dr. Aretha Adams-Jones, thank you so much. Wow,
Aretha.
Dr. Aretha.
Well said.
Right on point, well said. Well said. Let's keep the ball right on rolling, you guys. And without further ado, it's time for Talana Jones to take the floor and give us words of wisdom. Talana, take the floor. Give us words of wisdom.
Thank you. Good morning again, everyone. My words of wisdom today is entitled Be Encouraged. It's about everything we've been talking about and also an extension to my family right now. We're individually all going through grief and some mornings I want to encourage and pray that this is enjoyed by everyone. So it reads, be encouraged. You never know how strong you are until being strong is the only choice you have. We gain strength through the madness. We survive. What God calls us to do, he will provide a way. If God brings you to it, he will bring you through it. God is still on the throne. He is bigger than any difficulty. What he promised in your life will come to pass. God bless you and thank you all.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And whom all blessings flow. Without further ado, it is now 10:52 a.m. Clarence M. Allen, please take the floor and give us Regulate the Manual. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Eddie, and thank you to all our listeners. And because discussion we had with condolences to those families and other families who were affected by death at the hands of another one. I'm going to skip the gangsters and get back to that next week. But today I'm going to read this. Today is the day for you to regulate. To all who are knowingly and also to those who are unknowingly are racist. This is your golden opportunity to regulate those racial instinct issues, characteristics, and beliefs that you have found yourself trapped inside of. I know that is only for those who are racist, and that will keep the fires of racism kindling when everything else has gone out. If you are racist for whatever reason, and you truly believe that you are a real tried and true regulator, please raise your hand. Huh? Stop fooling yourself, buddy. Regulators are regulators. Regulators do not practice racism. If you ever reach the height that it really takes to live your life as a regulator, it is only then you will gain the knowledge and the wisdom that all men of their race, creed, and or color, there are some who was created in the same image of the Father. Then there will come a part of the times in your life when you will understand that each and every person was put here for a reason. Racist. White, black, brown, red, yellow, blue, purple, orange, and any other color that you choose today. This is the day that you will regulate. Aryan nation, skinhead, white inferiorities, trailer trash, hillbilly, donkeys, cracker, rednecks, white boys, niggas, black, goops, sandheads, sand niggas, ragheads, etc. There are so many names that people use to express their racial appetites toward others of their own race and toward others of other races. These racial sayings and many more names that I have probably never heard of are used every day by those who have some racial issues within themselves. These are the people who live within their own society, and their own personal life is filled with failures, insecurities, and the problems that they themselves have no clue how to solve them. These are the ones who refuse to accept that this world has continued to turn and move on. They are locked within their own private place of ignorance and emptiness. None of these people are regulated in the true essence of the word regulate. Goes on. So if you'd like to read more about this, go to regulatethemanual.com. If you have the book, open it back up. Maybe you will find something that you can relate to help yourself and even share with someone else, because this book is written and you are in here. Thank you.
Amen. 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 Let's give a big hand for Terrence Young. Thank you, Thank you. Now it's time for a very important component of our show. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. And at this time, and believe me, on this show, there's no smoking guns. It's the real deal, Holyfield. Speaking of the real deal, without further ado, Professor Reams, please take the floor. Give us the commentary.
Thank you, Pastor Jones, and we will keep it within time. We know how the time is. So I want to thank all of you for the brilliance, as usual, for discussing this topic, which is very difficult. It's a real deal, Holyfield. So the word of the week is hone, and that means that we're going to try and really sharpen our skills and our skill sets for social justice. So we've talked about the Milwaukee shooting. We've also talked about abortion. But now let's put it into the bigger picture of misogynism as well as racism at the same time. So in honing our skills, we have been hit with the wonderful notion that God doesn't make mistakes. Well, in that sense, God hasn't made a mistake, because he's revealed these things over and over again, reminding us that we still haven't done what we're supposed to do, and that we need to start, along with prayer, also practice and action. So in doing so, when we get to Clarence Allen reminding us of racism, we're honing in our skills of what that looks like when he reminds us of the type of racism that's there. To Dr. Granny V, we also have to actually use our nutrition well so that our bodies are ready for the upcoming fight that we're having, along with reminding us that God doesn't make mistakes. And with Talana hitting it out of the ballpark, as usual, talking about how the good Lord makes his promises and that he will keep his promises as we work with him, along with ending with the idea of empathy, which is also part of our honing in of our skills. Because even though we are angry right now because of the circumstances that have occurred, we also need to remind that we have to love. We also have to practice forgiveness. And we also have to always know that, as usual, that we have to let God handle our business. So if we're looking at what we're waiting on, as Goldie had mentioned, you know, you are waiting, thanks. We no longer need to consider the issues of what the good Lord has faced against us. It's no mystery anymore. It's now right in front of us, and praise God, because we know who the enemies are. If it's not ourselves, we're in the middle of a social and also spiritual warfare, as Prophetess Monica mentions too. So in honing in our skills, the one thing that we want to do is always stay grounded on what we are going to do moving forward. We also have to remember who and whose we are on our points of view, whether it's not our points on abortion or our points on race or our points on this. But then we also need to remind ourselves that we have been placed here. We are not a mistake. We are the change that we have been looking for, and now we need to go to work. And in doing so, we need to trust in the Lord and allow him to handle our business. And with that in mind, I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Professor Reams!
Thank you.
The best
in
the West.
Amen.
Thank you, Granny V.
How are you, Professor Reams? Go ahead.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a wonderful show we have had for you all out there. You know, I always tell you, you do, don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. Remember that the best is yet to come. And remember that the only limit in life is when you put on yourself, so you should let there be no limits on your life. And let me tell you something, the devil is busy, y'all. The devil's busy. You see what the devil did out there, and you see what the devil is still doing, so don't let the devil steal your joy. Just put your foot on the devil's neck and stomp him and twist it and break his neck. Break that devil's neck. That's what you do. Those demons need to be put to sleep in the name of Jesus. So God has the power and the authority, and he gives it to us each and every day. So let's exercise our power and our authority over these demonic things that are trying to overcome us in some kind of way. But the devil is a liar, and so is the sister-in-law. So you can expect lies from the devil. You can expect deception from the devil. But remember what it says, our scripture of the week. Our scripture of the week is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Hear ye, children, the instruction of the father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. So God says, don't forsake his law. Don't forsake his Ten Commandments. Don't forsake God. Abide in him, and he will abide in you. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 is our scripture of the week, and our word, as you heard, of the week is hone. Hone in. Sharpen your skills. God bless you. We'll be here next Monday at the same time, and I'm looking forward to seeing you. And God bless. So you're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. But here's the real question, y'all. The real question is, what's really going on? God bless you. I love you.
Amen.
Amen, amen, Vera. I'm going to call you. Amen, amen, Professor Reed. Amen, amen, Dr. Rita.
I love you, family.
Hallelujah. Amen, Brother Clarence. Love y'all. Love you, Twana.
Love you.
Love you, Brother Clarence, everybody. Mother, mother,
there's too many of you dying.
That's so true.
Oh, my brothers, 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 there's far too many of you dying.
You know,
don't you know we've got to find a way
to bring some,
to bring some love in here today. Where? Father, Father,
we don't need to escalate.
War is not the answer,
for
only love can conquer hate. Don't you know, don't you know, we've got to find a way
to bring some
love in here today. Picket line.
Pick
and pick his side.
Don't punish me with brutality.
Come on, talk to me, talk to me. Oh, so you can see. Oh, what's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Ten people shot down at top grocery store by some racist 18-year-old white kid. My. 21 people shot at the Milwaukee Bucks playoff game. Just so unnecessary with these ghost guns. Shooting in Houston, Texas at the flea market. Mother, mother, everybody thinks that we're wrong. We ain't wrong, no. Oh, who are they to judge us? Simply because our hair is long. Oh, you know that we've got to find a way. Bring some understanding here today. Oh, pick it
up.
Don't punish me with brutality. Come on, come on, talk to me. Oh, so you can see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. Famine is coming to our land. You better get ready, get ready, get ready. Stock your water. Yeah, stock your goods. Don't let the devil deceive you. Don't let the devil deceive you. God is with you. That's what's going on. He'll be there through thick and thin. You're up and down, and out. If you ask, you shall receive. If you seek, you shall find. Do not
that door shall be open unto you. Amen. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. On Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Jesse Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. God bless you. Peace.